I thought it would be interesting maybe to reflect a bit on what we have been hearing and reading in the texts, because this was a text-based seminar. So I've selected three quotations, one from each of the sources, although the Sri Aurobindo quotation is not from the human cycle, it's the same type of statement, but much more recent, made in 1949. Before we go into that, it would be interesting if we could analyze psychologically it. Not exactly psychoanalyze, but psychologically analyze where we individually connect with this material, this idea of the integral consciousness, and this idea of the developmental stages of society and individuals. These are concepts. We have read doctrines and we have become conscious of systems. But where do we individually connect with what those represent? And one of the things that Gebser dwells upon is the difference between a system which represents something and our subjective presentiating living in conscious contact with that reality. Verition, I take verition to mean this direct, intuitive grasp of what these systems are rationally describing. So is it possible for us, individually, to step back from the systems and the doctrines and reflect on where we connect, where they touch us? Where are we really? And are we grounded somewhat in these perceptions? So the purpose of the questions is to guide us towards a reflection. So when we get to the questions, I hope that each of us can pick one of them and reflect upon it and share something. Before getting to the questions, I would like for us to just read through together these three different perspectives on the integral, because actually they are the three perspectives that we have explored are categorically different, but their categorical difference isn't important. If we want to approach an integral consciousness, then their categorical differences somehow complement each other and give us tools for our own conscious existence. So this is exactly what Gebser is telling us we need to do, to be able to do. We need to take a perspective which is not categorical. So let me read his statement first of all. because it's the most technical and mysterious, and yet it's exactly what I'm trying to talk about right now. He says, we are compelled to find a new form of statement. Etiology must replace philosophy, just as philosophy once replaced the myths. In the etiologemes, some people would say etiologemes. What do you think, Vladimir?
Either way.
Okay.
Either way.
In the etiologemes, gamus, the etion, or being in truth, comes to veracity, or statement of truth, and this wears, or guards verity, and conveys the verition, which arises from the awaring and imparting of truth. So, awaring and imparting of truth is not philosophy. It is conveying the reality, which later Sri Aurobindo will speak about similarly as a kind of Gnostic truth consciousness. Every etiologeme is a verition, every statement of truth, and as such is valid only when it allows origin to become transparent in the present. So in order for origin to become transparent in the present, we must be not speaking about ideas and categories, or systems and philosophies, but something else. To do this, it must be formulated in such a way as to be free of ego. And this means not just free of subject, but also free of object. Only then does it sustain the verity of the whole. This has nothing to do with representation. Only in philosophical thought can the world be represented. For the integral perception of truth, the world is pure statement, and thus verition.
Still, we have to use mental structure, and still we have to distinguish by that mental structure.
In a way, what we were doing earlier was making a statement, particularly in the last segment, but even in the first segment, we were making statements which we were understanding. And the result was a communication about our awareness and sound, and there was not any subjectivity or objectivity in it, but it was a conscious statement. And sometimes in our sessions we have approached statements that were articulated verbally but didn't have a particularly analyzable structure.
And also had it at the same time.
And some did have. We're approaching a kind of transitional ability to think and use language and differently than when you make a presentation. Like, our presentations are not this.
Can I ask one question here with your conversation. We were immersed, however directly, in the experience, but Danya was sitting on the edge.
That's okay.
He would be the only person. You may have been immersed, but you were, if there was an objective observer from some other domain, you would have been that when we were doing the music, because everyone else was somewhere else.
So,
this is the kind of question
which we will come to at the end.
Well,
so keep that question in mind, please, Ruth. Mm-hmm. Keep that question in mind, right? But don't ask it right now.
Okay, I erase it, everybody.
Because all the questions are on the last page here. Okay, so this means for making this statement possible, the means for making this statement possible is systesis. Sys and stasis. Greek. Both are Greek roots. We are using the term systesis to circumscribe the efficacy of all categorical elements, that is, all types of manifestation and aspects of time, which, because of their non-spatial character, cannot be the object of categorical systematization, inasmuch as they are not givens or data, but in a certain sense, givings or impartations. We could call those expressions of something. Systesis is the conjoining or fitting together of parts into integrality. Its acategorical element is the integrating dimension by which the three-dimensional spatial world, which is always a world of parts, is integrated into a whole in such a way that it can be stated. Systesis is the means whereby we are able to open up our consolidated spatial consciousness, systematic thought, to the integrating consciousness of the whole. This integrating consciousness enables us to perceive and presentiate the integrity or integrality of the whole. So that is an attempt to communicate a perspective that we could put into the category of the integral. Yeah, exactly. But that you can.
Integrating consciousness enables us to perceive integrality of the whole. How you can't come out from it? It's just locked. It locks you in.
Okay, now I'd like to move on to the last one here. In spiral dynamics, we became aware of a transpersonal shift, which is what the theory of spiral dynamics leads up to. And there are various efforts are made to speak about what that means, that shift from the lower six memes to the beginning of a new integral, systemic, holistic kind of consciousness. And it seems like the yellow and the turquoise and the coral, these are just attempts to state something about what the next type of consciousness is, and on the basis of research. So on the basis of Graves' research, there have been some descriptions given of behaviors that begin to be noticed in that realm that are somehow different from rational behavior. So here's one such description. Post-rational, sort of. Maybe not integral, actually. But he says integrating. As yellow peaks, scales drop from our eyes, enabling us to see, for the first time, the legitimacy of all of the human systems awakened to date. Legitimacy. They are seen as dynamic forces that, when healthy, contribute to the overall viability of the spiral, and as a result, to the continuation of life itself. So here's a little element of Sri Aurobindo coming in. Life itself is the fundamental principle that expresses itself through some of these memes. And so they're all valid in a way. Yellow generates a flex flow perspective. This view honors value system differences and facilitates the movement of people up and down the human spiral. This produces a sense of stratification. A sense of stratification. A recognition of the layered dynamics of human systems operating within people and societies. If purple is sick, it needs to be made well. If red is running amok, the raw energy must be channeled. If blue turns sour and becomes punitive, it must be reformed. Since many of our social messes are caused by the interaction of people at different levels, such messes can only be sorted out through the yellow complex of intelligences and resources. The yellow mind sees the ebbing and flowing of human systems all over the planet. These, rather than ethnic cores, cultural or national diversities, or even political structures, determine the interactions of peoples and societies. The ebbing and flowing of value systems, and not those structured memes. Yellow gets behind the scenes in a hurry and acts directly on the deepest dynamics that are causing the problem. Yellow-thinking people are able to fix problems while others fret, manipulate, query higher authority, form study groups, or play theory games.
It sounds familiar.
Okay. So we have this sociological perspective, sort of, and we have Gebser's sort of psychological, philosophical perspective, and then we have Sri Aurobindo's spiritual perspective on the integral, which we heard massively last week. If the emergence and growth of consciousness, is the central motive of evolution. It must at last reach a point where it develops or acquires the complete fullness of its capacity. And that must be a state or action in which there is no longer an ignorance seeking for knowledge, but knowledge self-possessed, inherent in the being, master of its own truths, and working them out with a natural vision and force that is not afflicted by limitations or error. This would mean an entry or approach into what might be called a truth consciousness, self-existent, in which the being would be aware of its own realities and would have the inherent power to manifest them in a time creation in which all would be truth, following out its own unerring steps and combining its own harmonies. Every thought and will and feeling and act would be spontaneously right, inspired or intuitive, moving by the light of truth and therefore perfect. All would express inherent realities of the spirit. Some fullness of the power of the spirit would be there. One would have overpassed the present limitations of mind. Mind would become a seeing of the light of the truth, of the light of truth. Will, a force and power of the truth. Life, a progressive fulfillment of the truth. The body itself, a conscious vessel of the truth, and part of the means of its self-effectuation and a form of its self-aware existence. So if we think about integrality, that's pretty integral. Gebser's observations look like pretty integral mind. And spiral dynamics looks like a kind of integral pragmatism. I mean an integral vital, maybe, or these are different conceptions of integrality, actually. So my questions are these. If you can reflect on these or any other questions which interest you, and find out where in you we are with respect to this kind of an evolution or this kind of an understanding, and share something. Then maybe we can begin to become more concrete. So, four suggested questions are these. How do any of these three concepts either complement, supplement, or contradict one or more of the others? Be critical. Mental. Right. What kind of situation or problem might be better understood or solved by any of these kinds of integral consciousness? Be specific and practical, so we can learn something. What kind of behavior do you think would characterize one or the other of these types of consciousness? How would it look or feel? Be personal. What doubts or questions do you think need to be addressed regarding the feasibility, necessity, and reality of the emergence of an integral consciousness? And you can address this question, this doubt, to this group.
I think I have a point which I experienced in the last, since long, longer, but in the last 4 weeks and this going here forward, more clearly, not even longer. I had a problem that always when I heard consciousness, my whole system was shrinking because of the experience in Germany. That means this, we call it in this part, that the people who studies this living in the White Tower and ruling over the others and have the power of ruling over means they have the power through their consciousness to rule over others, and that was very much with the mental and male form in Germany, very strong. And they gave the definitions of what is right and wrong and rule. So this, having this in my whole system, I always react to this word consciousness in a not harmonious, supportive way. And then I try to give it out, to change it, to work with it, since long. And
you're addressing the fourth question, I guess.
No. It's two and three. It is because
It would be good to identify which question you're addressing. Because part of the purpose of these questions is to focalize our discussion.
Yes, and what helped me then, and deeply inside I believe, but it could not come to the forefront, that consciousness is something beautiful and integral. So that's my joy here also when this, the Aurelio was playing, this all parts of being come something integral, beautiful out. That my whole system is telling yes, and really is joyful. No? And then, I like to. So then I tried to find a solution for it, how I can change it. And I went to Vandana to get these flower remedies. And then I got first tenderness for the divine. But then I felt, tenderness, and then I recognized my consciousness. Tenderness is for me a weak association behind. So then she gave me now the essence of the flower, consciousness, one with divine consciousness. Smiling, happy, it no longer knows the shadow. My whole system says yes, and it happens an integral way from up to down. So for me, it is something where I recognize how the own consciousness is blocking, or when I can support what is integral for me, then I'm totally in the flow. So that is, and I think it is something for the whole society where the blocks are, it is something that needs a surrounding, a support system, or where the people can live their truth and express their truth.
Came to my mind that we in Soviet Union, we used consciousness differently. We didn't have people who were doing only intellectual job, moving others.
No, we don't have that. No. Consciousness is Bewusstsein, being, knowing yourself. It has nothing to do with what you are explaining. I cannot follow that. Bewusstsein means I know about me and of everything. I know, I get to know it, I can see it. It's like the space you couldn't see before, now suddenly you can see the space, then you get aware of it.
Mm-hmm. Awareness is the most common
term. Yeah.
I wasn't trying to define consciousness.
No, no, I mean this kind of consciousness, I don't know.
Can I clarify?
Huh?
When you respond, I respond.
I would hold my heart.
Are you finding it, or are you actually responding?
No, because there is a misunderstanding about consciousness in German. She said German.
Yeah.
And there is nothing, Bewusstsein gives no value of a position or something. It is, I become aware.
And so you agree?
I don't agree with her.
Oh, that's okay. What I want to figure out. So you actually respond to that?
Yeah.
I would like to invite us to not respond.
Okay.
Because if we're thinking about doing what these three points of view are speaking about, to start to rationally analyze someone's point of view is probably not going to assist our attempt to reflect on where we meet the possibility of integrality. The purpose of this session of psychological reflection is to really try to find out where in us we meet this emergent reality, if at all. Or if not, in what terms do we want to question it and try to understand it individually? I think that what she said communicated something, even though the terminology may not have been precise. It seemed to me that she was communicating something about the difference between an integral consciousness and a more structured and inflexible hierarchic consciousness. And so I think that's valid in itself.
So may I continue with what I wanted to say?
Sorry.
Thank you. The point is that in Soviet Union, and it would be interesting for you to see because you were not there, and you didn't go through that experience of Soviet Union, which we had. We actually communicated, we were speaking about it last time, that it was a very interesting experience in consciousness. So what was done? That high level of intellectuals was put down, completely down, removed, killed, destroyed, put into concentration camps. People were building, you know, those heavy works, those intellectuals, professors, and they were digging. So they were humiliated because the proletariat class, who was once neglected and abused, came up with all its claim to power. And every idiot was sitting in the highest hall possible, taking the most bureaucratic and the most inefficient person to the highest position possible. Now, what was achieved was a unique thing, by the way. It was a shortcut to heaven. Shortcut to heaven in the sense that the hell which they created, and it was a hell, because everything was put upside down. The top was put into the mud, and the mud was put on the top. So So there was annihilation of the whole system, all the hierarchy, and at the same time something true started to emerge. Something which does not depend on the structure, which does not believe in the organizational side. So what you were, when you were saying that it was this male viewer of sitting people, intellectually ruling others, all that was cut off, destroyed in some way. And it, for the reason. For the reason for the truer thing to emerge. And now it makes sense to me more than ever. So I'm taking it positively, not negatively. That thing which I would take negatively. But what happens then? Then in order to go to for this truer thing of this mythical structure of the soul to emerge, you will have to rebuild all those structures again. You will have to come to mental structure, yes. And that's what you do. You insist all the time you are building your mental structure now. Why? Because you need it. It's not that you don't need it, but you don't need it in that particular hierarchy,
yes,
which was built on the mental understanding. And here we have a shift. We need mental structure. We need all those other structures, but we have to integrate them differently.
When the former Soviet Union broke up, we had suddenly all these so-called independent countries. And quite some of them seemed to go through a recapturing of the stage that they had left behind when communism kicked in as a goal. Others didn't seem to have that much of a difficulty. In other words, there was quite some countries where they had a struggle. Turn on power and ethnicity and all of that. Where certain countries under former Soviet Union bloc, they somehow managed to move on without much conflict, strife between different factions in those countries. So could you speak to that? Because I mean that was my kind of like
some people were more clever, like Pre-Baltic Republics in Asia and later. And what they did was an interesting thing, and I think it was right. They just turned away completely, totally, absolutely, as if it didn't happen, as if they connected to another time, as if they plugged to their time when that period didn't happen before, yes. And they didn't want to discuss anything, to deal with anything, no political, no other means, nothing. It's okay, what you want to take, take and go, yes?
Was that a yellow meme response?
That was, yes, they were already ready to deal with themselves.
It sounds like it.
Yes. Others couldn't do it because of other reasons, because they were too much plugged in into that. They had longer time relations, and they had, like, Ukraine has half of the population of Russians. So couldn't do it. You simply cannot, even if you try.
And then you have Yugoslavia, and it's completely
Yugoslavia. Yugoslavia actually saved the world, because if they would not be there, Soviet Union would have that.
Have done that.
Yes. It was a show to see for everybody and understand that this is not the way. I think this is clear, otherwise Yugoslavia makes no sense.
Yeah.
And it's much more civilized, by the way. And in the center of Europe, they could have done something different.
Yeah.
It was a surprise to have such a
emergence of that stuff that had been sitting there.
I think they projected all other energies, which are coming not only from them, from Soviet Union, from all those suppressed energies there.
Yeah.
So that's why they had such a disaster.
And I'd like to respond to question number four, but not hopefully working the group, you know. It's my own personal thing, you know. So for example, when I came in into this part of this discussion group, let's say in January, prior to that for about two and a half years, I kind of, you know, I was very familiar with spiral dynamics and I was reading Ken. So it was a mental understanding is what I was approaching this whole thing, you know, stretching the, you know, limitations of knowledge, seeing how much I can grasp. So that's how I entered this, actually. So when it was part dynamics, it's all fine because now I've done work on that for many, many years. But if you have noticed, you know, right from the time Getsa started, I've been extremely quiet. You know, it's like I've been participating a lot, but I hardly could speak most of the time in the group because something internally is also happening to me, which is that I really plan to read Getsa a lot, but I haven't progressed, you know, beyond say about 150 pages or so. Because something that started happening at that point of time, I was very intrigued by even the title of the book, which is Ever-Present Origin. And my limited, you know, understanding of Sri Aurobindo and the time that I'm spending out here, that seems to be very important for me to experientially, you know, develop within me. And that's the struggle of the journey that I'm in at the moment. So the huge question that I'm toying with right now is, what is the kind of effort? Because I'm to understand two things. One, there is an effort from me as an individual, and then there is a guidance or something else, you know, a supporting. So the question is, you know, what is the kind of effort that I put in? Because, you know, I've done a lot of mental effort and it's taken to a point and not beyond that. So, you know, so specifically in terms of doubts or questions, you know, this is the question that I'm toying with internally for myself. What is the kind of effort that I kind of, you know, put in individually? Which includes the mental for sure, but it's slightly beyond the mental. So that's what I'm sitting with right now.
So I think it would be good to try to answer his question if you can. Because people sitting around this table, many have had years of experience with this question. Not just a few months of experience, but decades of experience. So it might be possible to shed some light from a more integral perspective. How does it look? How does it feel to do what exactly?
Could you formulate again in short way your question?
The basic question is what I was trying to contrast is earlier, you know, it was a lot of mental effort. So if you see, I'm a born Indian, you know, so which means given the kind of upbringing that I've had, you kind of gone through many of these stages, you know, magical, mythical, and the high point of last many years was my mental development. I would say for the last 10, 14 years. So in that, the last 3 years was long, I was exploring evolution, you know, integral, whatever I could lay my hands on from a mental knowledge angle. So suddenly, you know, the last 4 months I entered this space, not just here, but you know, moving around here, every weekend I'm here. There's something that's happening within me which is like I'm seeing the limitation of the mental effort and there's a desire to go beyond that. So I'm just sitting with that. That's what I'm exploring right now in my life itself. It's not that I'm doing away with the mental, not at all, because that's not what I aspire for. But,
One thing I can immediately say is that the mental is only an instrument. It's only a means by which you direct something which is behind it. And that's it. You have your interest in your own life. You have a deeper look into yourself and you know that you exist and you know that you are. You want to know what it is all about. Now, you can use many different instrumentations for your use. One of those is mental. You have to train this instrument in the shop to know different types of logic or whatever. You may not know it. You can try it out and see how it feels. That's what I've seen in my life. I was never interested in mental research. Never. Even after now, I kind of think that it is only a tool. And I see limitations of it. And I still know that it has a very important role to play in this particular ability of consciousness to distinguish. But that is not because of mind that we distinguish, but because of some other drive behind, which may illumine and use mind to use it for the discrimination. There is a drive always inside you, which is coming in the moment when you need to move it. And then the mind is there just waiting to be used. You may engage it or you may disengage it. It's up to you. It's as if you are distant. It is waiting there to be picked up and used. It's like quotations or something like that.
It seems to me...
Yeah, I would like maybe try to answer it in a more practical way. And I think Sri Aurobindo already has given some indications which way we could follow. He says always if, so I try to say also could and would, because I think we don't know yet. But I think to include things which foster other possibilities than the mind would be a very good way, going up to the body also, doing some work with the body, creating awareness through the body and with the body, maybe going into some work with art, because art is fostering a lot of intuitive forces in the human being if you have the right guidance and the right attitude to do it. And these are two things I think which could help you to integrate your mental work in a different way in your whole being. To look for what is speaking to you, what is really resonant to you, and to follow that path. Just briefly.
Yeah, what I was going to say is that it doesn't seem to me that you're asking any question about the mind per se. You're asking a question about something other than the mind, because that you've been dealing with quite well for a long time and can continue to do that. It seems to me that these three perspectives all share one thing. They shift the focus of consciousness to the things themselves, the field itself, away from the interpretation and schematization of the field. The movement, as Sri Aurobindo described it, if these are all soul powers, this physical and organic and vital and mental functioning system are on all of these levels expressions of soul power, but soul power per se is not any of those, then in order to shift not only consciousness in the sense of awareness, but energy of consciousness, which is called will, and Sri Aurobindo is always emphasizing will, to shift the will, he says, to another plane of functioning. So the will is no longer focused in the center of interpretation of the world. Somehow we have to shift our will, our drive, to the field as a whole, which is depersonalizing. And for a long time, I mean, the practice of yoga defines this experience is largely an experience of negation. And so it may take a long time to begin to feel that the will can be generated from some other center than the one that we've learned over a lifetime to use. And then one has to believe that there is a will in the universal vital and the universal mental and the universal spiritual that can move things holistically. So when you try to make that shift from a well-developed mental will to that impersonal universal will that enables you to really respond, as Gebser says, systatically instead of systematically to things, you experience a kind of down gearing of energy until you can establish another center. But it seems to be necessary to do that. And so there, here, there are two ways to do that. There's the kind of surrender to the warm, sweet, ever-present field of joy and beauty and at least peace, and let it take however much time it takes. Or you can practice a kind of tapasya and attempt to connect with the universal spiritual consciousness. But either way, you're sort of putting on hold all of those functions that you have spent a lifetime developing. So how to do that dance, because you still have that to work with, you know, is that's what has to be learned.
Can I say something about, for me, the question of integration is a question of dealing with dimensions. And I feel it has to follow a very consequent way, step by step. You start with the point, and our consciousness is concentrated on the point, and we feel what is the point, and then we come to a line of many points, where we have a new dimension. It's not only one point, it's an infinity of points. So we encounter first the integration of the infinity of the points. And then when we go to the surface, we integrate all the lines into the surface, and we have an infinity of lines inside the surface. And from that step, we go to the dimension of space, where we integrate all the surfaces into a space, and then it starts moving. The time factor comes, and we try to integrate all the spaces in a time factor. And then beyond that, the material thing loses its importance. But as long as we are in the material, these steps are very important to integrate them in a conscious way, because only then we can move in time and space in a conscious way, when we really understand what all these things are about. And then now, if we go out of the material space to the mental space, to the soul space, to other complex spaces which are transgrading these material spaces, a full new question of integration arises. The question how the immaterial spaces can correspond to the material spaces. And it's a totally new form of integration if the material spaces have to correspond to a spiritual type of space, because from nature they are very different from each other. And I feel our main problem is in the practical, because you talk a lot about practical, is to keep the practical in these spaces beyond matter, beyond the material. Because they follow other rules, they follow other necessities, and not to remain in this contradiction, but really integrate now the material and the immaterial, I feel is a very, very hard step. And I feel that all societies up to now have failed to really do this step. They tried with religions, they tried with ideologies, they tried with cybernetic concepts or whatsoever, but they have failed, because it's not practical and it's not practicable to bring these things together. And I think we are still struggling on that level, and we have not really overcome that problem. And it's not about analyzing or mentalizing it, but I think it's something higher or bigger, what modern physics tried to do, to create new concepts of how to look at things and how to understand things and still keep the material reality in mind. And I feel this type of integration in the yellow meme has not really happened and is on the way. And I feel that I'm struggling a lot in this development. There is another world beyond the material where you can invent, where you can see an infinity of complex things and analyze the infinity of complex things without taking consideration of the material. But also that movement in philosophy, like this idealism and all these type of things, have not really brought results which are practicable. And I feel that we have to see, maybe in our work here very clearly, how can we come to something which is related to something practicable.
Very nice that you support at this moment. Mm. It's actually nice to sit in the chair and do that. To be in the space of not having to participate and activate something inside, but be very passive. And somewhat consciously taking from that place of an observer of process that I was part of, but in a slightly different way. And, to take up a place where I was more listening, feeling into the impact of the complete experience of the group on myself in a very silent way, which means without judgment, and more from the personal plane, just feeling. And feeling in the moments of how I translate it to myself, of more or less harmony, more or less nurturing. But these are just words I'm leaving you now, but just feeling the flux. What it did to what I perceived as my system. And if you talk about practical, when you talk about the way I interpret what you're saying, it's like, well, how can you go further with this? I don't know if that's what you mean. How can I take this further? Then perhaps a reflection is relevant on where we have come so far in talking to the timeline. This started a couple of years ago, and this year specifically was a focus on presenting those different systems. And of course, one could put in vision and project the future, which you would take up other systems, and I definitely would still like to hang lower in this mode. But just imagine you would keep doing this for 1 year, for 2 years, for 3 years. Then there might arise a question, is this still evolving? Or is this a comfortable space that we've created of identification? Because I can identify with a lot of what's been shared, and I can identify quite easily with the place from which I perceive to come, from others and as a group. But I think the reflection on where have I been coming from, or where have I been coming from in my orientation towards these sessions, and where has the group been coming from, and found a zone of mutuality, is relevant in the context of asking where did people not come from. That's my
asking what? I didn't.
It's relevant from the point of view of a reflection of where did we not come from. In other words, we can, these are all my assumptions, we can assume that we came from a certain flux of sharing the often ornamental, intellectual, interpretive plane. And this is the perfect context for it. And yet that some experiential activities that sort of like give it a different angle, but yeah, I just want to share that question would be relevant for me. And to say, if you want to go deeper, how do you bring in those spaces or places or aspects of reality or collective intelligence that we've not been able to bring in, not because there's anything to judge about that, but because that is the quest, or that is the possibility. But that's only as I see it, and even what I can say now is still hinting at something that would need another way of sort of like entry, or coming from a different place inside myself. Deconstruct what I just said, it's basically still all thoughts that are being expressed. And one thought more or less doesn't really make a difference in that. Until it starts to perhaps symbolize or signify the places and spaces that are not necessarily coming from consciousness or coming from as a group consciousness. And then you come into the dimensionality, then you come into the stages or the states and so on. So I'm kind of curious how that would manifest, how that would come about. And at the same time, I'm very, very appreciative of just having had the opportunity to see you more this and to listen and to give some of that back into my more or less from a point of view of I think further developing understanding how different, at least at this stage, each of our minds works to make sense of what it is that we universally agree upon to use as common language, your windows, file dynamics, and so on, but the individuals per se here work and live in each in a very specific mind space, and it has been very nice to actually participate in that from my mind space, and at the same time be relativistic about it. But, yeah, what comes out of that? And this aspect of, I'm quite sure that being together as a collective adds a dimension that we don't necessarily only also consciously tap or put awareness to, but from my perception it's quite clear that we wouldn't sit together. I would be figuring out things by myself in a different way probably. And that's the great asset of sitting together in an effort to become conscious. And yet we have to become conscious of what we are not comfortably sharing or trying to be conscious in. So, of course, we end all of the question, did this make sense?
what I just shared. And will that be gratifying? You know, it's not even that, but I think there's always this part of the being that likes to make sure that somehow what it said made sense.
It made sense to me. Can I comment on it?
Sure.
I think it's not quite accurate to say that we're just sharing thoughts. Because when he was speaking, and when she was speaking, and when Vladimir was speaking about the Soviet Union, I was aware that the bodies were also speaking. And that the physical is really not separate from the mental for us human beings. We forget about that, and we think we go through this thinking process and make generalizations. But even at the moment when you're speaking about sitting on the chair and being comfortable and being detached and being focused and in enjoying the focus, that's you're communicating much more than just a thought about things.
I would agree. And at the same time, I'm noting for myself that you're trying to do an effort to understand the mind state that I was coming from, because I'm verbalizing without explaining. And I experienced the limitation in that. So I have to choose at this point. Am I going to say to you, but I didn't mean that like that? Or am I going to say, I agree actually with you totally?
Either one, doesn't matter.
No, but it's an interesting, it's a process of fine-tuning the understanding. And from my perspective, I hope you understand that when I say it's purely, or it's primarily sharing in a certain thought space, it's not because other stuff is not happening in shared. That's impossible. But the paying of attention to that and making that part of the awareness. It's like when I also saw Vladimir talk about the former Soviet Union, I could see distinct and feel distinct movements that I had not checked with him. But actually went on. His voice changed, the color in his face changed. But we don't take that step of accessing that level and say, I really appreciate what you said. And this is what I noticed. You know, am I sort of like picking up on something and just respectfully leave it like that? We don't do that because somehow that reality is not as, I would say, as explored or accentuated. So that's all I try to say. And I do feel from an inner perspective that something is asking there.
I think we pick it up though. Yeah. This is where we can actually move beyond the mental. Because we can actually perceive all of these qualities that are behind the words. And it isn't necessary to block them out and say, I see that quality and I recognize it for what it is. But in fact, we can see it and recognize it for what it is. And then we're communicating without so much personal investment, ego. When people can communicate, as this group has been communicating for a few weeks, under a fairly intense concentration of conscious energy, and it still gets formulated individually, but no one is stopping to question very much what anybody else means, because it's generally a flow. This group is capable of flow. And just the fact that it's capable of flow is pretty significant. And I think I can see that it carries with him, for example, throughout his week and week to week, cycling back through this situation. And when Ingo describes his struggle with integrating the physical, and the spiritual or the higher mental or whatever, the ideal, you know, I feel that this is something that's probably going on every day pretty consciously. So we carry, we're engaged in a process that is the general process of the earth. It's the general process of Auroville, and it's our individual processes day to day, which just come to a hub cyclically in around this way of understanding. And then the question is this way of understanding significantly altering its processing energies? Does it help us to do this, which is a question that you often ask? Is this type of energy field that's created here something that's really connected elsewhere, and are we growing in consciousness by sitting here every week? And I think that is a, you know, something we can be aware of. I think it's inevitable that we are growing in consciousness as a result of this. But anyway, it's something for everybody to be aware of. When I look at the Auroville, some specific issues, like the international zone issue, I'd like to just shift the focus for a minute, if I could, to a question that I want to ask.
Yeah, I would like to say one thing here, and then we can move on.
Yeah,
I still feel that I don't feel understood by you about that specific thing that I'm trying to point out. I'm not judging whatever. I appreciate it, and I think there is a lot of usefulness in it, and there is progress. Otherwise, I would not be sitting here. So I'm with that. I'm asking a question about something else, that the way that you speak to it, for me, doesn't really relate to what I'm trying to say. And that is fine.
That's okay.
That is fine. I just want you to know.
Yeah, that's fine.
Maybe to address this issue, because I had a thought. You want to address this issue?
For me was also what I expressed was real, this, what gives this group or this sharing is real, that is an opening there. And you had been sitting outside, others experience this and this, and it's almost immediately the let other be like they are. And that is on an energetic level. And that is something I think it's very valuable through all this group of works to have this experience, to get it in consciousness and in our whole being also. So that was important. The other thing to his question, I wanted also to say that Shadaloo talks on the intuitive mind. That is something which is something beyond or go further on, and he played two of the videos, and it's really something what touched me. I thought yesterday morning, that he said, as a bhakti has, is also a will, and this conscious approach, also the mind has this will or conscious approach to something higher. And I think there comes the link, not the mental mind, which is rigid and limited, but this openness to the through silent mind, that there could come something higher in. And I think that is really something to see in it, to see the videos. It's amazing. I mean, it's real touching.
Which videos are there?
Huh?
Which videos?
From Shradaloo on the intuitive mind. He had six talks on this, and the number 4 and 5 I just saw the last time. It's real. It gives a very good orientation. So that is, and I think this is something beyond the mental mind. Yeah?
May I share something about the group process? I think for me it was very interesting now to observe from where we started and where we are now. we started from these concrete presentations of the three systems, and and Rod had formulated questions on them, but we reached at a totally different point, which for me is very interesting, because I have the feeling now we start to share about our personal experience here, and you started it with your question, how can I go beyond this mental thinking and structure, and I think this is something in my feeling which could come next, how we really in practice live all these questions, all these concepts, all these realizations or not realizations, as Tanya puts it. And so it would be very interesting maybe to have from everybody some, who likes to do it, some winding up, what, why we are here, what gave it to us, what we carry with us and what we bring to the group. But maybe it's too late now. But it was interesting for me that it naturally happened, this shift, and it's closer to my heart than
It is his role in this group. To make us aware that we are here present, we are here having something to offer and something to learn. And this is a very valuable contribution. By the way, I wanted to link it. I don't see the difference. And every contribution is widening and broadening possibilities. So we need to do that somewhere in our inner space. That's where the flow is going. We need to agree and to see the contribution side of everyone in this arena into which we bring our contribution. And that's the beauty of it. By the way, I wanted to make some observation on the structure. And I agree with Hanya, by the way, I have to say this, that we are broadening our mental capacity, we are still broadening. And this broadening is necessary for deepening later. It's not yet fully deepening, but the deepening is already lurking beyond. Because before deepening, the broadening has to be, we have to accept more possibilities than we have. And your idea with spaces is quite Sri Aurobindonian, by the way, that there are different spaces and we try to link mental space with outer space, and it doesn't happen on the mental ground. It won't happen also on the physical ground. It won't happen on the vital ground. It doesn't work this way. We need another space. And here I come to this observation that all these three, if you examine them, you will see that two of them, spiral dynamics is closer to us in time. You can feel that they become more, the integral, intuition of the integral structure of Gebser is already becoming a reality here in practical sense. People already deal with this every day. They already see that there are ways to deal transparently with structures, which Gebser was pronouncing theoretically. And in Sri Aurobindo we can see another completely dimension. He accepts the truth as the world. The truth as the plane of consciousness which we need to have in order to do that, to be transparent, which none of these previous actually know about. You can see, no Gebser, no spiral dynamics accepts any future or truth or somewhere to go. They know that we are evolving, but they are always looking kind of backward. They are looking to the transparency of what we already have. They are not looking for something new to come from the future. And that is the difference between these three. And that's why we say from Gebser to Sri Aurobindo, although Gebser wrote his writings after Sri Aurobindo. And we would say even from Gebser, even from spiral dynamics, or maybe Gebser spiral dynamics and Sri Aurobindo, I'm not sure. But Sri Aurobindo is the last in this group to be mentioned.
I like to appreciate who marks before. Rod marks before. It's Iyasatra, the quickest one goes in. And this is something which I don't know. Rod was wanted to talk after you.
No, we passed that.
Does it make sense what I said?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I just have a small comment about it, which is that when Gyatso says that systasis is a way of expressing consciousness in which there is no subject and no object, is an intuition of that which Sri Aurobindo is speaking about as the truly spiritualized integral. And in that case, it's absolutely unimportant what we think we mean, or what someone else might think that we mean, or it's no longer necessary to make judgments about anything in that consciousness. Yeah, you can make judgments if your tendency is to make judgments. But whether you make judgments or not isn't significant. Because what's happening is a field which is driven by a universal consciousness that is what we are. And our mistake is that we keep referring it back to ourselves all the time. So we're in this process of trying to reverse that.
Even our mistakes are welcome in that flow. It makes sense, because they're the flow of that universe.
In that state you're talking about, the universe still has latent potentials. So whether you make a judgment or you get pure in your will, there's still co-creation going on, there's still latent potentials.
Absolutely. There's
so
nothing else.
Judgment, choice, will, there's something needs to come from the human, from a more integrated level as possible. There's still a need to work together. If I understand Sri Aurobindo correctly, the universal latent potential sitting in those realms.
In general, you see, I'm actually also very appreciative of this space. I'm very much a learner. I'm not used to express thoughts on that level. So it takes me a time to always just understand what we're talking of there, because I've philosophical concepts, and it's not really what I do now, so I work. And so, but now to this late, just this conversation here, how I see this, it's really, for me, it's really diving into a mental field in a way, connecting all these other fields also. But this is what, for me, it's the beauty actually on this platform, this, that we are concentrating and taking the trouble of trying to formulate these profound experiences on different levels into words, though fugitive and, let's say, imperfect sometimes this is. And now with this truth, when I read Gebser, I find he is there, something, it's like he is intuiting what the window brings afterwards as knowledge. And so he is there, but he is there in and out, and he can't really embrace it and bring it on that level. And I think the process, you see, yes, we are constantly still working with our minds, though we have glimpses of something else. And I guess the process truly to become more and more one with that, and being able to drop these other, like scaffoldings. You see, the mind is to some extent a scaffold because we are using this as a representative tool.
I wanted to say something to the modern physics and integrality, because in the modern physics, in the beginning, there was only the void and the liquid and the solid and the gas form. And then they found out that there is something also which has all the forms together. They call it the plastic state, where all the different forms come together and
plasma.
Go through each other.
Plasma.
plasmatic or plastic. I feel that our mind is not yet at the stage of catching this type of approach. And I think the progress and the next step will come when we are able to really not only catch it mentally, but feel it and also experience it. What does that mean? What does that change in the world? That there's nothing solid, there's nothing liquid, there's nothing in gas form, or there's not just this empty space, which is the void. But all these things exist, coexist, and in the same time, and separate from each other, and not separate in the same time, transgressing each other. And if we can follow this, I felt today it was a very nice thing with these sounds. It gives a glimpse of this experience, what it means when all the things are going through each other, floating through each other, and are there at the same time and are not there also. And I feel that's a new form of being that has to be developed, that has this awareness and this consciousness to be in this plasmic cloud, or how we can say, and moving in that.
I would like to make the statement that it's already there. And I think the question, Shivaya asked the question, Gebser was something in and out, and he could not embrace it. But Sri Aurobindo did, speaking about the truth. And I think it was just like an intuition. I think Sri Aurobindo had more courage just to express what is already there. And how can we know about something which we don't know? How we can formulate about something we have no idea about. It is there. We only cannot maybe express it fully. This is our only problem that we have. And all this reflection now around the table, I would like to condense to the question, how we can make this leap? We know it. I'm sure we know it already, but we cannot realize it fully. I think already Goethe said, we could not see the sun if our eye would not be sun alike. So we could not imagine something which we are not already ready to perceive. So now, my question would be, for maybe for the future, how could we work on that realization? We already know it. It's there, I'm absolutely sure about it. We couldn't speak about it, we couldn't reflect about it. We wouldn't have any idea if we would not be able to know about it. To be it.
So you're bringing another dimension into our studies. Non-studies study. Can we study in a way which is not mental? Can we find another way to of learning, maybe bhakti, maybe karma, yoga, through action, surrendering consciousness into action, into the body, into presence? Can we other ways of study? Learning about ourselves, not necessarily through structures of the mind and learning how they correspond, but that is a part of the process. Indispensable, notice. Without which there is no integrality possible. So if we value that to that extent and see this part as necessary, then we can go on, adding to it. But if we can't see this and ignore it because it is not that, then we are into another deficiency.
So this is a diaphragm. This mental effort is a kind of diaphragm which pulls into the body that plasticity that you're talking about. And this we could see in the mother's body very clearly. Her body was like plastic, like a fluid substance. And that fluid, you could see flowing. And it was light also. So you couldn't really distinguish very well between whether it was light or fluid.
You saw that?
Yeah, I've seen that. Mm-hmm. So we know that there's a reality that is possible with respect to the body approaching what Ingo pointed out. But the way towards that is the opposite direction, which the diaphragm also mediates, and that is the liberation from this small self-centered, analytical, judgmental to the universal. And by going towards the universal in an exercise like this, at the same time, you pull into the individual that concentration. And this is the magic of this yoga, actually. So you can approach this table in a purely rationalistic way, or you can approach it in a bhakti way, or you can approach it in a tapasya kind of karma yoga way, where you're doing more than getting knowledge, where knowledge is really just a diaphragm for universalizing yourself and focalizing the universe on your center, or your centers. And this maybe is just an indication that a table like this, a platform like this, can do more than one thing.
Transmit and to make visible and all, but it is also so many thoughts out of other regions go here cross, and this is what hampers, what doesn't let us become so plastic. It's all this, so actually the path is getting more and more conscious on multiple levels, and then kind of purify in a way where you let go of all these programs which you carry, which produce these thoughts, or which hold on these thoughts, which are all crossing all over.
So I would like to ask one of these questions. I would like to ask question number 2. And I think we're in a good place right now to see how we can identify a particular problem or situation and see how it could be better understood if we approach it from all three of these integral concepts. For example, with the international zone question, and we spent some months thinking about that, so we know what it is.
I do not know the question.
Okay, the question is, what is the purpose of it and how to manifest it?
That I have been asking myself.
So.
Okay.
If it's possible to have a diversity of cultural presences whose physical, vital, mental, aesthetic, spiritual energies are creating, expressing their souls in a concrete space, then a statement, a systatic kind of statement, a statement of the truth of that experience can be made. But as long as that doesn't exist, and we make statements about it, like the working committee recently sent out a notice to the AVI centers that they should have a project to try to define the souls of their nations. This seems to me to be exactly the kind of reduction that prevents it from happening, and which has prevented it from happening from the beginning. Because the as we've discussed many times, the mother conceived of this coming about, and then people would learn about their souls as a result of this international learning experience, not something that would already be known, because it can't be known. It's expressed, as Sri Aurobindo says, in everything that a culture does is an expression of its soul. So if you try to define that mentally, you completely negate its reality. So it seems that we could, if we understand that, if what I have just said means something, if there's an element of verition in what I just said, and then that kind of an understanding could be more effective in manifesting the truth of the international zone, and in counterbalancing the tendency to either architecturalize it or to mythologize it. And what we always see so far is those two tendencies. So, except for occasionally there's a true cultural interaction that brings spirit into Oroville, but not very often. It happens periodically. But it is not seen as a method for evolution of consciousness, an educational methodology which is hidden in that concept. So I think that this kind of an integral understanding, an effort to operate from each of those three perspectives that are defined there, could really make a difference in how the international zone is conceived and how it is implemented. But it would require an effort on the part of people in different domains to really break through that screen.
Could you give an example for that?
I just want to tell you.
We have a skeptic. We have a skeptic in the room.
On 2 o'clock here, so
it's 12:40 here. So anyway, that's my question, and I gave a practical example. So I've passed the end of the course exam.
A good question for a new session, but this is not a good moment to put it on the table.
No, but each of the points that has been made is exactly the kind of attempt, at least, to put into practical perspective the ideas that we've been inundated with.
Now, and just a little comment. Canada has just put their But last year, Paul spoke to me. I just met him last year because Oroville International was on the other side of Canada, and I found out there was an Oroville International. And he spoke about the struggle they had to choose this. What was Canada going to do with limited money? Canada's problem sometimes. Building, And so he told me we used to struggle with getting the money for this. And then I told him how we had, Canadians had raised some money for this little healing center. And then this year he tells me, oh, we have the money, we're going to finish it. And so someone had given me one of those as a gift. And it's interesting, what is the soul of your country and how... And so I received this little gift about 3 years ago, and I look at it all the time, and there's a beautiful statue in Vancouver down by the water. It's very large and impressive. Everybody that's a tourist forever sees it. It's gorgeous. This stability and this strength and these stones that were formed as the earth starts to get hard. So there's so many symbolic, maybe mythical, maybe even someone would say magical, but maybe integral, because it's just this figure of this image of this human could be mythical. But it's going to stand there forever and ever and ever, and it's made of stone. The first that hardened as this planet started to form. So to me, I am so delighted that Canada, of all the things in this big nation, in this big multicultural nation, this conservative, kind of quiet nation that wants to be peace-loving and leave us be, please, let us contribute in little ways throughout the world. And here is this. Tsunamis can come, I hope cyclones will not get even, and we have them. It's going to stand there and be part of our soul's contribution to Oroville. And so I'm very grateful for the small little group of people who have worked with that raised the money from however they had to fundraise it, that we could give to Oroville from on behalf of our country, some of our soul to share. And it comes from an ancient culture, from the Inuit. That held also space way down in that archaic realm. But I'm hoping that that symbolizes the archaic to the integral and beyond integral. that one piece from Canada. So I don't know of any of your issues with international zone at all, but I do know that we now have, from our country, have brought something here to stay steadfast with Oroville and the vision.